This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profiles. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Al is out of studio this week, so I have a fantastic show lined up for everybody. We're going to be talking a lot of investing themes focused on resources, but then also on the conventional markets. I have Dana Lyons coming up in the next segment. Also, John Kaiser joining us to talk about the uranium sector, as well as a couple other analysts to dive into specific stocks. So I hope everybody enjoys this week's show. To kick off the show, I am joined by Jeff Deist, president of the Mises Institute. And Jeff, we're going to start off this weekend show by talking politics because, you know, it seems like Hillary is the Democratic candidate. And we also have Trump, who it seems like locked up the Republican side of things. Obama came out earlier this week and endorsed Hillary, said something to the extent of she is the most qualified candidate in history. Jeff, let's throw it over to you. Where do you stand? What is America in for in the next few months?
Well, thank you, Corey. You know, this whole idea of being qualified for president, God, you know, it's such a scary thought and a scary idea because nobody's qualified to run the lives of 330 million people, let's just say. But more importantly, no one is qualified to be making life or death decisions in the area of foreign policy. So it's frightening, and it shows you how clueless Obama really is from a libertarian perspective, the way he thinks about the state, the way he thinks about government. Another interesting thing about this past week is the extent to which the old gatekeepers, meaning the traditional media, have really lost their scoops and they lost a lot of their relevance in the process. It was reported all over social media yesterday in sort of whispers that Bernie Sanders had flown to Washington, D.C. and had a private meeting with President Obama. And out of this private meeting came some rumors that he had been asked to serve as Hillary's vice president nominee in exchange for sort of calling off his dogs, meaning his supporters, and also bringing those supporters firmly into Hillary's camp. And it is rumored and to an extent reported. What are news reports? They're generally rumors, right? It is rumored that he turned that down. So it was fascinating to me to read something far more interesting than what was in the mainstream press, which was all this boring stuff about Hillary as the historic first female president, which is completely dull and not of interest to anyone. And meanwhile, social media is buzzing away with the real news of the day, which is this secret meeting between Bernie and Obama. So that's why, you know, if you're a skeptic, if you're a libertarian, if you're someone who has a jaundiced view of government, you gotta love this new era we're living in because we have an opportunity to tell the real story the way we want to tell it amongst ourselves and not just have to wait for the 7 o'clock news to hear Tom Brokaw come on and dictate to us.
Well, I find that comment by Obama saying the most qualified person to run the country. When Obama ran on change, he wasn't qualified, and that's how he got in. And it seems like the American people continue to want a change. So going down with the most qualified person, I don't know if that's exactly in line with what Americans want. But, Jeff, talking about how bitter this potential election could become with Trump, who seems to be able to say anything that comes to his mind, and Hillary, who seems to be backpedaling on some issues and then attacking Trump on others, there's a lot of skeletons in the closet for both of these candidates. This could get ugly, couldn't it?
It certainly could, and I think it's going to be a decidedly non-ideological election. This election is not going to be fought over issues. And thank goodness for that, because it's healthy when people understand that there's no real difference between the two parties. This election is going to be fought over tone and style and past skeletons, as you mentioned. And I think it's going to be fascinating. I think it's going to be a referendum on where America is. Are we still a masculine country? When we think historically of masculine countries, we think of England. England's a masculine country, right? France is a feminine country. France is interested in food and wine and living. England historically was interested in ships and conquest and projecting its force around the world. So America has always been seen, I think, by the world as a masculine country, and Trump is certainly a masculine candidate. Hillary, being a progressive and a feminist, is clearly a feminist candidate. So while these aren't ideological differences, these are tribal differences. So it's going to be very interesting to see who shows up. But at the end of the day, we shouldn't put too much into this, because Trump has really been the president for the last year or so. He's really been running the country and running the news cycle. And I don't see anything about Trump or Hillary that's any worse than George W. Bush or Barack Obama. So personally, I'm not emotionally bound up in who wins. I won't say I couldn't care less, but the fact that one of these two gets slightly more votes, or slightly more electoral college votes, I should say, on the election, you know, the country already is where it is. The results are kind of after the fact at this point. The idea that someone like Hillary, with all of her bad ideas and all of her baggage, could be seriously in the running to rule over 320 million people, that's the real issue. The issue is not who wins or who somehow managed to get those precincts in Miami that tip Florida and all of its electoral college votes one way or the other. You know, I'm less interested in that. I'm more interested in the larger picture and what it says about us.
So in the larger picture, no matter who gets elected, will there be any change? Will there be any positive actions for whoever is running the country, moving this country into a better spot?
Well, I think if Hillary wins, conservatives will retreat to their familiar old hiding place known as Conservatism, Inc., which resides mostly in the Beltway, think tanks, magazines, etc., and they will continue to support their candidates in Congress and fight her agenda. But that's more of a turf battle than an ideological battle. If Trump wins, that really is going to change the landscape in Washington. A lot of people in federal agencies, a lot of people in think tankdom, and political media are going to be wondering what this means for their jobs.
Now, what about from an economic front? What do you see in the difference between Trump and Hillary in terms of what they can and can't do for the U.S. economy?
Well, Hillary will find ways to institute new taxes. It's easier to create new taxes than it is to raise marginal rates on income taxes. That's more transparent when on people's annual tax form. She will struggle to do anything too ambitious. She won't be able to create, let's say, a complete single-payer system, the kind that Bernie advocates. I don't think she'll be able to make huge regulatory or tax changes. But you know, I think we would expect an incremental increase in the size and scope of the tax and regulatory burden under Hillary. That's what I think we would expect. Now, under Trump, we're not so sure. He did say some decent things about the Fed and about U.S. Treasury debt before he became the nominee. This is still a couple months back, or the presumed nominee. But he was excoriated in the press and immediately seemed to retreat from some of those statements. In other words, talking about how, hey, if you buy U.S. Treasury debt, you're an investor, and sometimes investors bear risks, and sometimes investors lose money. And if you are a creditor of the U.S. government, in effect, you might have to take a haircut because we borrowed beyond our means and our ability to repay. And it's better that the bondholder and bond buyer take that haircut than having a bailout by the U.S. taxpayer, because not everyone bought that debt. And, of course, this was entirely sensible, entirely correct. And he took a lot of heat from it. And that really shows you how the powers that be think. That makes a lot of people around the world nervous, especially in Asia, where U.S. Treasury debt has always been considered just sort of a quarter step different than holding actual physical dollars. Trump makes them nervous, and I suspect, or I fear, that he's going to have to back off that kind of talk as the general election gets closer.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $7.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this Skype.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-941-5257. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-941-5257. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-941-5257. That's 1-800-941-5257.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition, I now have on the line with me Dana Lyons, fund manager and founder of my401kpro.com. 401 are the numbers, not spelled out. Highly recommend people going to go check out that website. Dana, we have a number of topics to cover here, and the first one is this general reflation trade or trend when it comes to commodities. You posted an article on your blog that looked at the CRB index, but it also took a step further and went into another index, the Thomson Reuters Equal Weight Commodity Index, which is an equal weighting of these commodities. You came up with some interesting conclusions that I would like you to share with our audience, please.
Will do. Thanks for having me again, Corey. Yeah, a lot of the focus, obviously, especially with the media, but also with market participants over, you know, the first half of the year really has dealt with the price of oil, commodities in general, but specifically the price of oil. Seems like the media kind of lives and dies with every tick of the price of oil as if it affects every major index or security that everyone's trading, which, you know, obviously is very important and it has a major influence on the movement of a lot of markets, and economically, geopolitically, it's very important. But sometimes we're over-reliant on focusing on one thing. But we were considering this idea of reflation, that is the notion that, you know, after a couple of years of pretty much a death spiral and deflationary forces that affected across the board in commodities, especially the price of oil and the metals. A lot of the discussion lately in the market has been, you know, whether this bounce in oil is for real, whether the deflation period is over and whether we're, you know, heading back up on a more cyclical, longer term basis in commodities. And as you mentioned, looking at an index like the CRB or the price of oil is helpful in trying to gain that a determination whether this is, you know, more durable or not. So we looked at that, and obviously the rallies off of the early year lows have been pretty impressive. You talk about price of oil has basically doubled since its low. But when you consider how far it fell, that's only regained maybe a quarter or 30% of the losses that it incurred since the middle of 2014, so 2 years ago. So it's still up in the air as far as we're concerned, whether this reflation trade is more durable or whether it's some sort of a mean reversion type of a bounce, which, you know, it would be an impressive one. But it's considering the percentage of losses that it's retraced, it's still up in the air whether, you know, this is a long-term thing or just more of a mean reversion. But as you mentioned, just lately, using the CRB index is a little bit flawed because it has, out of 19 commodities, it's weighted 23% towards crude oil. So basically, when you're looking at CRB index, you're almost looking at a chart of crude oil. So what we did in determining the extent of reflation, we looked at the index you mentioned, the Thomson Reuters Equal Weight Commodity Index. This index includes 17 commodities, and it weights them all on an equal basis. So it doesn't give undue influence to, you know, the price of oil or any other commodity. And interestingly enough, while the CRB and the price of oil are still some 10 to 20% below their 52-week highs, looking at this equal weight commodity index, we see that it actually broke out to a new 52-week high in the last few days. So what that tells us is that, you know, this notion of reflation is more of a broad-based phenomenon than just, you know, the price of crude oil or the price of gold, which I know a lot of your listeners are focused on. So I think a lot of the recent contributions comes from grains and other agriculture commodities. So it was a bit of a surprise, but interesting to note that how broadly based the reflation move has been. So it's still up in the air as far as we're concerned about how long lasting, how durable it is, but it is probably more broad based than some people might realize it is.
Well, I think a lot of people do know and have followed the bounce that we've seen in gold and in silver, along with the bounce in oil. But we did also see, let's say, copper, nickel, those type of metals, those commodities, get a kick kind of at the beginning of the year, but they have since been falling back. So these type of base metals, that could also be maybe what's holding you back from going all in and saying that we are back in this more long-term uptrend reflation type of thing for the commodities. Is that correct?
Yeah, as you mentioned, after initial dead cat bounce early in the year in industrial metals, they basically stagnated, and they're looking like they want to break the new lows again, in our opinion. So obviously you have a heavy economic influence when it comes to industrial metals, as opposed to maybe the metals, precious metals, and other commodities. So there's a heavy economic signal that often comes with the industrial metals, and their behavior lately, while other commodities have rallied, their behavior has not exuded much confidence as far as the level of economic demand globally right now. So yes, that's a very good point, Corey.
Can you relate to, if we are in this reflationary trend, even if it is a slow form of reflation, because I personally don't see anything skyrocketing up here, how does this affect the U.S. markets, maybe other international markets?
Obviously, there's a huge tie-in between commodities and other markets across the board, whether it's equities, the dollar, currencies, interest rates, and whatnot. I think a lot of the bounce we've seen was a mean reversion bounce, considering how badly beaten up the commodities have been. So I think that move is out of the way. The easy money is out of the way. One further headwind they probably will encounter is the fact that, you know, we've seen after that massive rally in the dollar that ended about a year ago, we've seen the dollar kind of go sideways and basically work off a lot of the excesses it had built up during its rally without getting hit too much. So our view is that there's a good chance that the sideways action in the dollar is a continuation pattern, and eventually will resolve itself to the upside. And in that scenario, it's going to be probably another headwind at some point for the commodity reflation rally.
I do agree with you on that one, Dana. If the dollar does go through another pop, then that will put more pressure on the commodities. As much as people want to focus on how much room there is to run on the upside for the commodities, it's important to note that no market goes in a straight line. Dana, thanks for your time. Everybody stick around. We're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care, as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. 303-483-4885 or go to selectquote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors, not available in all states.
Here's Dr. Paul Meyer, Christian psychiatrist, author of 85 books, and founder of the national chain Meyer Clinics, to tell you about To Your Health liquid vitamins.
I've been taking these every day for over a decade now, and I try to encourage every one of my clients to take them every day. And there's a number of reasons. First of all, it's the best vitamins you can get. It's got dozens of vitamins, antioxidants, and nutrients in it. And then the most important reason why I do it as a psychiatrist and recommend it to my patients is because it's got brain food in it. It's got the essential amino acids. It's got tryptophan, phenylalanine, tyrosine, choline, vitamin B6, and these chemicals that are all natural from food turn into the brain chemicals that make you happy.
To Your Health is delicious. Find out more today. Call us 800-801-3459 or visit online at mytoyourhealth.com. Use the coupon code RADIO15 for a 15% discount on your order. That's mytoyourhealth.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. For this segment, the business editor of the Epoch Times, Valentin Schmidt. Valentin, we constantly talk to you about different business stories and just political stories of what is going on in China. And recently, over the last about week and a half to 2 weeks, you came out with a number of interesting articles that I want to talk about that are discussing some of the investment flows that's going on in China. First off, the Chinese are investing in Bitcoin, it seems like, and the Bitcoin price is taking note. Over the last about 3 months, the Bitcoin price has gone from just over $400 to almost $600. Can you break down, first of all, how you came to the conclusion that Chinese are investing this heavily in Bitcoin and why you think they are?
Yeah, Corey, thanks a lot. It's always a pleasure to be on the show. So basically, what many people don't know is that Bitcoin, the virtual currency or the virtual gold, is essentially in the hand of the Chinese. Not the Chinese government, but most of the so-called mining, so the mathematical processes that produce Bitcoin. And most of the trading is done in China. I think it's 60% of the mining and 90% of the trading. I don't know why exactly the Chinese took this on and like it so much, but so that's a fact to begin with. And then last time when we had a bubble in Bitcoin or this price spike to 1100, that was also when the Chinese sort of started to take note at the end of 2013 when Bitcoin wasn't a mainstream phenomenon. And then it crashed because the Chinese regulator came out and said Chinese financial institutions and the big payment providers like Alipay are not allowed to transact in Bitcoin, which some people interpreted as an outright ban, but that's not it. It just severs it from the financial system in a professional way, but doesn't prevent Chinese citizens to transfer money from their bank to an exchange and buy Bitcoin. But it did its job. It was probably overvalued and overextended, so it smacked the thing down. And then nothing really happened until the Chinese capital flows capital outflows started to accelerate, and China started to crack down again on illicit capital outflows. And the Bitcoin conduit, it's still possible not to shift huge amounts, but for anybody who has like 50K, 100K, you could easily buy Bitcoin and basically detach yourself from the Chinese financial system. You don't even have to move it out of the country, because if you own Bitcoin, you can use it globally anyway, and it's not, you don't have banking or currency risk in yuan. And why do I think the Chinese are behind it, except for the fact that they make up 90% of the trading? It's also because there's a premium if you take the price in yuan for Bitcoin and convert it to dollars. Is about 5% higher than what I would have to pay here in the United States for the quoted dollar price. So there's a premium, which basically tells you that the Chinese currency is at least 5% overvalued. I find that very interesting.
So, Valentin, living in Vancouver, where I live, I'm inundated by stories about how the Chinese people want to get their money offshore and invest in some product. Obviously, a lot of real estate is bought up here in Vancouver by the Chinese. But is this just another play for them to get their money out of the system to, I guess, potentially make purchases in other countries, or simply just for a protection play?
I think it's a couple of elements. So first of all, it's relatively easy to reduce your currency risk and banking system risk by buying Bitcoin, and you don't even have to move it out of the country. You know, it's just like buying gold. You buy it and you can be in China, and if all the banks go bankrupt, you still have your gold, or you still have your Bitcoin. So that's the first thing. Thing would be possible for a Chinese, for example, to fly over to Vancouver, open a bank account there, Bitcoin account in the United States. The Chinese, there's nothing the Chinese can do against that. And then he can buy his Bitcoin in China, which the Chinese are still allowing. Like I said, you can transfer from your bank in China, you can transfer to the exchange by Bitcoin. So let's say he converts 100K into Bitcoin, and then basically sells those Bitcoin on his, or transfers them first to his American account, and then sells them, and then wires it to his bank account. Yeah, it's perfectly possible and legal as far as I can see. Because what the Chinese don't allow people is, if you have a bank account in Canada or the United States, you're not allowed to wire a lot of money over. So if you have a Chinese bank account, you want to wire money to the American bank account, you're not allowed to do that, or there's a limit, 10 to 50,000. But with Bitcoin, you can circumvent that.
Now, Valentin, let's switch the topic a little bit, still focusing on investing flows in China. But instead of Bitcoin, Chinese are also investing in gold ETFs. Why are they choosing the ETF form of gold to invest in?
That's also interesting, because the Chinese not only invest in gold ETFs, also if you look at the latest report from the World Gold Council, they are also buying coins and bars. So they are definitely using that venue also to protect themselves. And it's just that the ETF market in China is very small. I think overall they only have, what, 20 tons or something like that. So that product hasn't been around for a long time, and I guess it's using the same reasons as do other people. It's convenient and they can speculate, because that's something we shouldn't forget also with regard to this, to Bitcoin. The Chinese love speculation. They love to buy anything that goes up. And since the stock market has been going down so much, they shifted their attention to Bitcoin and partially also gold ETFs, because they're easy to trade, and both Bitcoin and gold are going up. So that's my explanation for their preference.
Well, I think it's important to note too, there's a lot of gold bugs out there that say the Chinese simply buy and hold gold, and they probably hold the most gold in the world, although their recent numbers that they put out over a year ago now showed that they do not hold the most gold in the world. Of course, those are highly doubted, the numbers that China put out. But the Chinese do like to speculate, right? They are gamblers at a sense. And using ETFs, this helps them essentially gamble by not having to go to the casino.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the part of the population that uses this tool, and the others do indeed buy and hold. We talked about the Chinese strategy of storing gold with the people. I would be careful saying that the Chinese have more than everybody else, because the only figure that I have seen for private gold holdings is that of India, and that is 20,000 tons. So the Chinese, even if officially they have 10,000, which I doubt, most of the estimates are around the 4,000, 5,000 tons held with a central bank, and they may have another couple thousand with private banks or other state institutions, and then, you know, the people have whatever, 15,000. I mean, at most, even if you take all the import numbers and add another on top, you still have less than what the Indian population has. It's just that the Indian population, they really buy and hold and never sell the gold. So it's kind of like a captive supply that's really not influencing the market at any point in time.
So, Valentin, as an overall sense, do you think that outflows, or at least people trying to hide their money in China, is increasing, decreasing, pretty much neutral? Where does it stand right now?
I would say it's despite the fact that the central bank didn't have to intervene so much on the currency markets, but that's only one aspect, basically, because the dollar, in a sense, has been depreciating since the Shanghai Accords, so there wasn't as much pressure on it. There was some stability. And also, of course, if the dollar depreciates, that means that by definition the other holdings of the central bank go up in dollar terms, so the PBOC makes money. But on the ground, like what the people are doing with Bitcoin and gold, and also you have to look at what Chinese companies are doing. They are buying everything that's not bolted down. They're making huge offers for multinational companies. They're even buying soccer clubs in Europe. So it's, you know, it's definitely not stopping. They're really trying very hard to get their money out of the country. And all they can do is probably a couple of scores of billion every quarter. It's really fairly limited.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro 1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Hi, this is Ron Paul. I'm a former 22-year congressman and Republican presidential candidate. I'm here to tell you about something that just might save your lives. You never know when there will be another Katrina, an economic collapse, or a serious drought. We should all have a little food storage that will carry us through tough times. I'm going to tell you about a great way to do that. A U.S. company named Harvest Right has a kitchen appliance that can help you be prepared. It's a home freeze dryer. With the product, you can preserve the foods your family loves. And the best part is the food will last 25 years and still taste great. I've tried it, and it's amazing. With a home freeze dryer from Harvest Right, you can literally freeze dry anything you eat, even things like ice cream. To learn more, call Harvest Right today at 800-594-4635 or go to harvestright.com. That's 800-594-4635 or harvestright.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition, I have on the line with me Joe Mazumdar, the business partner with Brent Cook over at Exploration Insights. If anybody wants a little preview of what Joe and I chatted about earlier on in the week, check out the daily editorial to kick off Wednesday, where we broke down five different commodities in terms of gold, silver, copper, zinc, and uranium, and Joe and Brent's outlook on these sectors, these commodities, including the underlying companies. Joe, I want to get right into it, and I want to talk about a recent presentation that you gave at the Metals Investor Forum in Vancouver. First of all, let's talk about the interest in the resource markets in terms of financings. We've been seeing a number of financings across the board, big companies, mid-size companies, and even the juniors are able to finance, albeit not at the high levels when we're at the peak, but this definitely is showing some interest that is coming back into the market, is it not?
Absolutely. So last year we might have seen $1 billion+ of financing in the precious metal sector. A lot of that was consumed by streamers and producers within almost the first quarter of last year. And, you know, there were bits and bobs here and there, but really there was nothing sustainable, and a lot of the others never got any. And even some of the bigger ones were actually held up, even though they were bought deals. This year, we've had a few of those big financings as well. We've had Franco and I believe Kinross earlier this year. And, you know, comparable to last year as well. But what we're seeing is that it's continuing. And we see the 1 millions, the 5 millions, you know, that kind of range of equity financing, and not for producers. Now we're seeing, as you said, for the explorers. So in terms of what we're doing, what we're seeing, is that other people, smaller companies, illiquid, are getting financing and funding.
Joe, when we talk about these different financings that are coming in for whichever company it is, obviously the bigger companies, the large caps, are financing through some pretty well-known institutions. Where do you think a lot of these smaller, even mid-sized companies are getting their funding from?
Well, some of them do private placements or brokered placements, but I believe that they're tapping retail, something that has been almost non-existent for the last, let's say, three, potentially 4 years, has resurrected. It's not, like you said, at the same volumes as we've seen 4 years ago. So So we've seen explorers 4 years ago that could raise $50 million at a premium to where they were trading with no warrants. We're not seeing that. We're seeing warrants, and we're not seeing people getting a ridiculous amount of money, and we're not seeing them get ridiculous premiums. But what we are seeing, which is a positive, is we are seeing them getting funded, and we are seeing a pickup in retail interest.
We definitely have been, which is nice. We've even seen more people commenting on our blog, and I know talking to a number of the different analysts, there are people that are paying more attention to this sector, whether they think that it's very beat up or whether that they're true believers. So that being said, I want to get more in depth into this talk that you gave at the Metals Investor Forum, talking about quality versus leverage in this sector for specific companies. Can you give us a quick little rundown of maybe the Cole's notes of what your talk was?
The thing is, what we tend to do in Exploration Insights is what we do is we look for quality, because the way we think about it is quality is something that survives cycles, something that if the stock went down on that quality asset, you would buy more. You wouldn't sell it. Whereas leverage means that you're particularly, you've got an affinity to the commodity, saying, okay, this is going to go up higher, and if I want leverage, I want the company that makes nothing at the current gold price, but whose free cash flow potentially or the asset value will go up infinitely with a small increase in the gold price. And so the leverage play would have the underlying marginal asset, whereas when we look for quality, what we're trying to do is not necessarily just go for high grade. We're looking for high margin, as opposed to high production volume, which might be the leverage play. We don't want it too complex, either geologically or technically, in terms of red flags. We need a competent management team. But on a leverage play, you might not care about the management team. You just need liquidity, and you need the company to have enough working capital to provide you enough, option time. And as you know, option valuation is about the period of the option, the strike price, and the volatility. The volatility is not an issue. You know, we'll always get that. What we're trying to get on the quality side is a lower cost asset, whereas the leverage guy will look for something that's currently doesn't work in the current environment.
Now, with these quality plays, one could argue that a lot of these, after this last 5 years of downturn, a lot of these quality plays are fairly well known because these companies have been able to either produce at the current low commodities price and generate a return, or for some reason they have just risen to the top and investors are well aware of them. That doesn't mean that they're not a good investment though, correct?
No, but here's the thing is that what we've shown is like for an example, Kamanak Gold, that got bought out. And so in terms of our portfolio from when it was purchased, or let's say the return offered to investors who bought it when the market was turning, let's say in the beginning of December, November 30th, they might have gotten, you know, over a 200% return. Whereas over the same period when we graph this, the GDXJ would have given half that. So this is a quality asset, but it got taken on an M&A bid. So if you buy quality, and we're just talking about advanced exploration and development plays now, we're not talking about production. If you buy quality, your exit strategy for us is an M&A bid. You're not going to get that with a leverage play. Because as we've shown in our presentation, is that if I change the gold price, $200 per ounce, for a big company like Newmont, I can add another 11 million ounces of reserve without blinking an eye. So why would I buy somebody else's marginal asset? And then add on to that the idea that, hey, there's been about $11 billion of impairments taken by the top six gold companies in 2015. You know, Goldcorp was one of the bigger ones. Barrick and Yamana took anywhere from $3 to $5 billion of impairments. So those impairments are fresh in their heads. When they took the gold price down from whatever $1,400, $1,500 down to $1,100 or $1,200. they're not ripe right now in the current market environment where the gold price is still wavering around 1250 to go back and increase and say, hey, I want more marginal ounces. I've already been on that bus and I got off of it. So I'm not going to come back right now. So the M&A bid right now is for quality. So I'm not necessarily looking for growth. What I'm looking for is return. So that different mentality means they're shopping in a different part, in a different store.
So essentially, in summary, it's all about high grade, high margin. That's a combination, preferably led by a competent management team and in a friendly jurisdiction, plus the company has funds to weather any sort of short-term storm. Would you say that's accurate?
Well, if we're talking quality, what we pointed out is that if you do leverage, you want something in a safe jurisdiction because some of the leverage volume is coming from the states, which geopolitically they can be a little bit myopic. And so if you pick an asset that's marginal in a country that they won't play, it won't matter. It won't be leveraged to the gold price because it won't trade. However, if you pick a quality asset, jurisdiction should be mining friendly with transparent permitting, such as you can see people already getting permitted and stuff like that. But it doesn't necessarily have to be the United States or Canada or Australia. So you can pick some places. Like, look, Serbia. Reservoir Minerals gets taken over in Serbia. So that's not on everybody's lips with respect to one of the better jurisdictions in the world. But there's assets in there that are operating. There's a high-grade quality asset there that they want to develop. And the company that's looking to take it over is coming from Eritrea. So Serbia, to them, looks a lot better. You know, so So perspective matters a lot, but they'll only apply that when they're looking for a quality asset. There's no way that they're going to go to an iffy jurisdiction for a marginal asset.
Yeah, that makes total sense, Joe. It's always enjoyable chatting with you. If anybody wants more information on the Exploration Insights newsletter, please feel free to email me directly and I can put you in touch with Joe and Brent. I know that they're good guys. I always read over their newsletter because I think it's well worth my time. Joe, thanks for your time.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly, certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.